You and I probably have never seen someone put to death. You and I probably have not seen anyone die a violent death. Perhaps there's someone here that has. But this was customary in Jesus' day for people to watch the death of a criminal, someone being put to death, and violence was not uncommon. And it was almost as if there was an attraction to that which was out of the ordinary, and that which was gory, and that which was ugly. And the public executions were supposed to stop, you know, or capital punishment was supposedly to stop the crimes of the day. And people realized that certain crimes automatically would lead to death. And it was just publicly portrayed. And so here we have this picture here in Luke's account, especially of the people gathering around the place called the Skull, where they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And it talks about how they stood by looking on, and they were sneering at him. And they were saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him sour wine. And others were saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription over top his head that said, "This is the King of the Jews." The Bible says here that one of the criminals who hanged there was hurling abuse at him. And I like the New American Standard Bible, how it says he was hurling abuse at Jesus Christ. I think Mark's account tells us that both the criminals were hurling abuse at Christ, at the beginning anyway. And hurling abuse at Him, you know, just the imagery, just throwing it, just hurling it, just throwing it as hard as they could. And all I can do is picture in my mind a dying criminal who has probably been beaten black and blue, who may have been flogged just like Jesus and has been bleeding just as profusely from his back. Here's a criminal who's coming to the end of his life, and crucifixion in some of the public capital punishment experiences brought the worst out of individuals, where they would spit on their tormentors and they would hurl rebuke back and they would just lash out as if to preserve one last little bit of their strength and their dignity in life before they die. And so here they are both mocking and joining in this crowd of jeers against the dying Savior. And one of them in particular was just hurling those abuses and saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself," you know. And of course he was implying, "Save me too, you know, I want to live too." And that's when Luke brings us a very interesting twist in the whole events of the day and the flow of the conversation, because the other thief on the cross began changing his tune as he was watching what was going on that day. And in some way, in some beautiful way, the Spirit of God began speaking to this individual. And we find him saying down here, in verse 40, "But the other answered and rebuked him and said, 'Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom.'" He was saying, it was kind of present, you know, a continuous action. He was saying, "Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Interesting twist of events, that in the midst of this confusion and these insults and the ugliness and the broken bodies and the bruised bodies, there is the cry of a thief towards the one in the middle, Christ, saying, "Lord, remember me. Remember me." I say to myself as we gather today for communion, the Lord has said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And my mind says that we will never rejoice in the whole experience of remembering Him until we have felt what it's like to call out in the darkness, to call out that the experience of knowing that we face death, knowing that we have all the judgments of God duly upon us, only as we are able to cry out to the hanging one on the cross, "Remember me," will we ever be sensitized to what it means to remember Him in a celebrative way here during communion service. And I say to myself, here's this man hanging on the cross. What did he have that was worthy of remembering? What did he have worthy of remembering? A broken life. A life filled with crime and violence. He was, quotes, a sinner. Worthless in the eyes of humanity. But yet he cries out to a dying Savior. He says, "Remember me. Remember me." What does he have that's worth remembering? Nothing. But though he had no worthy past, he has a present. And in that present, he accepts by faith the one who is dying at his side. And my heart just stirs up inside that this man recognized his guilt and that he recognized that there was really no one to fear in life anymore but God. And somehow his mind was shaken with the reality that here is God, right in the center of everything that was taking place on that tragic day. Can you imagine the beauty of such a picture coming in on one's mind? To feel the weight of condemnation and guilt, and to feel one's lostness in terms of this present world, and to be faced with the reality of lostness for the world to come. And then in the flow of events, to begin to recognize in the dying Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the dying Messiah, and come to recognize that here in the midst of all this gloom is life, the promise of life eternal. And so from a broken heart that sees no hope, there comes the continued requests. "Lord, remember me. When you come in your kingdom as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when you come at the day of resurrection, remember me. I want a part in it. I'm unworthy, but remember me. Remember me." The beautiful thing is that the words that come from the Redeemer's mouth are words that give hope and courage to every one of us today. Because those words are words of assurance. "Verily, verily, I say," or "truly I say to you." In spite of the horror that is taking place around you right now, in spite of what appears to be my brokenness and what appears to be the end of my ministry, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." We know that Jesus died just hours later. We can be sure that the thief lived hours after Jesus died. But oh, what a sweet peace he lived with in those few hours. Racked with physical pain and the abuse coming back up from the crowd around, but to have the sweet peace that a dying Savior was dying remembering Him. And all I can say, dear folk, is we have the privilege of gathering around this table today. Sweet privilege, blessed privilege, of reminding ourselves that in the midst of a broken, dying world, God has appeared as a dying Savior. And no matter where we've been, what we've said, what our lives have been like, No matter how great sin may appear in our eyes, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we, as that thief on the cross, repent of our sins and cry out to the One who has died for us, "Remember me." Ours is the privilege today as we gather to remember Jesus. That privilege is only as warm and meaningful as the assurance is in our hearts that when we have spoken to Him, "Remember me," that He has assured us with His Spirit that we have been remembered now and we will be remembered when He comes. We've made arrangements for the ladies to gather together in the early teen and youth room downstairs, and for the men to gather together in the junior and primary rooms. For our ladies that are unable to negotiate the stairs, we have a room prepared for you back here in the what used to be an office. And for gentlemen that can't make the stairs, we have preparations for you over here in this side. Let's separate at this time and spend a few moments in sharing, washing one another's feet, entering into celebration already early in the service in this way. And as we come back, anticipating as we remember Jesus in these elements, that we can be assured that He has certainly remembered us. In the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We've asked Jack Henderson to lead us in prayer as we ask the Spirit to break the bread, as it were, in our minds. And we will be kneeling here at the table, and we invite you to just quietly bow your head and share in this prayer.
Loving Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before Thee this holy day, as we have prepared our hearts to partake of this Holy Communion, as we take these symbols of the bread of life which came down from heaven, not as the manna in the wilderness, but through the spotless Son of God, full of beauty and holiness and righteousness, without a taint of sin upon Him. And that body bore our sins, and that soul, that heart, that mind bore all our guilt. And that body was broken for us there on the tree. That memorable of all days, the day that the ancient debt was paid for the past and the future, so that all who believe and all who accept will never have to pay that price. We're sorry that human words cannot possibly describe how momentous, how great, how broad and comprehensive that one single act was, which paid the price. And we're also thankful that Jesus is our High Priest. Amen. While we go through this very sacred and holy service, He also is going about a service up there, which is the real thing. This only points to it. But the real thing we know by faith is taking place in the heavenly sanctuary, where our sins are atoned for. The price was already paid. And the application of that wonderful sacrifice, that wonderful gift, is being made to our account. So we thank You and praise You, Thou Bread of Life. Amen.
For all the weak and weak. and heartache cease. In the upper room with Jesus, sitting at his nail-scarred feet. Oh, what rich and full communion, fellowship divine and sweet. There is cooling water for the weary. There's a balm for every broken heart. There is rest for all the heavy laden. His peace to you he will impart. In the upper room at his nail-scarred feet. Oh, what rich and full communion, fellowship divine and sweet.
Jesus has invited us to take this bread in remembrance of Him, in remembrance of Him.
In the same way, after supper He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." We've asked Craig Wills to have our prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, we are supposed to consecrate these emblems. Yet we recognize that more than this, we are to consecrate ourselves. We dedicate ourselves to Thee. That this blood of the covenant symbolized by the juice was in reality the fulfillment of His promise. Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that His blood cleanses us from sin. And so as we partake of these emblems, we claim that promise in our lives, that Jesus' blood may cleanse us from all unrighteousness, make us clean. We realize that also Jesus was the great Passover Lamb, and that the blood of the Passover Lamb was to cover the homes, the lintels and the doorposts. We pray, Father, that the blood of Jesus may not only cleanse us from our unrighteousness, but provide protection. Protection from the evil one, protection from temptation. Cleanse us from sin and dedicate us wholly to do Thy task. We also realize that Jesus has offered us the abundant life, and that blood represents life, that He is the living Jesus, the living Savior. We pray then for these three things symbolized by the bread, by the blood: cleansing, protection, and empowerment to do the will that You would have us to accomplish. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom come with a gift for thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
May we never forget your sacrifice for us. And as we partake, may the Holy Spirit impress us how precious you are.
What is it in your heart and in my heart this morning that would cause us to call out to Jesus Christ, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom? It's only a clear consciousness of our need of Him and our clear consciousness that He has what is able to solve our spiritual and eternal dilemma. And I just trust, as we have taken a few moments today to remember the Lord, to remember that He's died, that He is the dying Savior, I just trust that as we come to an end of this service today, that there's sweet peace in our hearts, that there's sweet joy in our hearts, that we are remembering one who has remembered us and continues to remember us, as Jack has mentioned in his prayer. Jesus remembered us on Calvary, and He remembers us now as our high priest in the courts of heaven. And we are told that someday He's going to come again and to receive us unto ourself. He's going to prepare a place for us now. So we are continually in His thoughts. And what a blessed assurance that is. Turn with me to responsive reading, number 782. And then you might as well turn to 246 also and just put your thumb in there so that as we finish reading the words of assurance here, that when the organist begins playing, that we'll stand, that will be our call to our feet, to sing our benediction together, first and last stanza. But until then, let us remind ourselves what has transpired today. Number 782, yes, God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son so that everyone who believes in Him may not be lost but may have eternal life. The sheep that belong to me listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never be lost, and no one will steal them from me. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Anyone who has the Son has life. Anyone who does not have the Son does not have life.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.